Hello and welcome to Pancreas Pals. I'm Emily.
And I'm Christy. We're just two gals in our 20s trying to live our best type 1 diabetic lives.
Every week we tackle a new topic from the diabetic perspective. Although we offer tips, we are not medical professionals, but we also offer plenty of anecdotes and general thoughts about how to embrace the type 1 lifestyle on your own terms.
It's not always easy to do through all of the literal highs and lows, but it does help to have a pancreas pal to turn to.
Hey everyone, welcome to Pancreas Pals. Emily was having a giggle fit.
It's true.
So I'm introing today. Here we are. This is Christy. This is Emily. And back with them, we have Miriam.
Hello.
That's Miriam's voice. This is Emily's voice. Hi, that's me.
Emily, giggle girl, do you want to intro this week's theme?
Sure. Okay, so thanks for that beautiful intro, Christy.
I literally have
been hysterically laughing like the last 3 minutes for no reason. Anyways, moving on. This week's episode is all about the idea of diabetes being a burden. And I'm doing air quotes if you can see, because you can't. So that's really just for Christy and Miriam. Anyways, I have been checking my emails, checking our Pancreas Pals DMs, sliding in, and I've actually, you guys are amazing, the listeners, and this actually came to me because someone said something about how they felt, you know, it was just a very non-committal sentence. They were like, oh yeah, I didn't want it to be a burden, so I didn't say anything about like drinking, something like that. And I was like, oh my God, light bulb moment. I always think that diabetes is a burden, and I know everyone goes through cycles with it. And since I knew we were going to be talking to the amazing Miriam Brand, who is a licensed mental health counselor, holla at you, Miriam.
Thank you.
I was like, within 5 minutes of us recording this, I was like, hey, Miriam, let's actually do this topic. And so this is how we got here today. So you're going to hear Miriam's expertise thinking on her feet and me being a jerk and not giving her enough time. to prepare.
I'll do my very best.
But hey, like diabetes, life comes at you out of nowhere, so.
It's true.
Look at that tie-in. Very nice.
I'm very gifted. What can I say, guys? But anyways, back to seriousness, that is the idea of diabetes being a burden. I'll just start off with my own little spiel is that, you know, go back to season one, listen to our diagnosis stories from episode one. Miriam's diagnosis story is actually up there as well, episode 2.5. But my intro to diabetes was actually very, you know, different than a lot of people's, but everyone's story is different. And I was diagnosed 3 years ago, so I was diagnosed as an adult-ish. I was 20 years old, and I really had to learn everything on my own. I never had a parent looking out for me. I never had anything like that. Oh, well, my parents are always looking out for me, I guess, if they're listening. Sorry, Mom and Dad. But they weren't administering any shots. They weren't administering any, you know, blood, you know, finger pricks, anything like that. So for me, it was a burden on myself, but also a burden on my roommates in college. And when I say burden, I mean, I felt like it was a burden. No one had ever, you know, taken me aside and been like, hey, Emily, your diabetes is really stressing me out. Can you tone it back? Because that would be pretty awful. But it really hit me when I moved in with my twin sister. Hey, Laura, you're awesome if you're listening. If you're not listening, then we need to have a talk. But she's very supportive in all my diabetes aspects, and she has woken up from a deadly stupor, like literally in the middle of REM sleep, to come and sit with me when my blood sugar was like 40 or like 30 something, and make sure that she literally just sat there and stared at me until my blood sugar got back up to like 80. And that to me, I feel like that's a burden, but to her, she's happy to do that because she, you know, she's my twin, she's my roommate, and she was my womb-mate. So it's really something that some people might view as a burden, but you have to keep everything in perspective because she doesn't always clean the dishes, and that's a burden on me, and that's a different type of burden. So everyone has their own thing.
It's true. It's true.
Yeah, and going back to another episode from season one when we did like our dating with diabetes, I always worry, you know, how this is going to impact if we're trying to have a night out and something happens.
I'll be honest, I don't know how I had this train of thought, but this is what comes to my mind when I'm listening, is it reminds you how in certain situations, sometimes it feels more like a burden, and sometimes it's just like this, I think of diabetes as like a horrible hangnail that's there all the time, and it's completely irritating, but like you can go on with your life pretty normally, but like it's there and it's snagging on things and it's pissing you off, but it's there and you move on fine. Whereas other times it's like not quite a hangnail, it's something a little bit more dramatic. And I think it's just interesting to kind of think of that as it changes. It's not like it's this constant. It changes based on the situation. It changes based on your anxiety level of a situation. Yeah, I had another thought. Sorry, I'm a little disoriented today, but my thoughts are just hopping around. But I think another thing I was thinking of is I try to always imagine, when, especially when I feel the most like I'm being a burden or I'm just like causing a scene of some sort, I think like if the situation were reversed, and obviously it's hard to imagine because we are the ones with diabetes, so it's hard to imagine how we would react to someone else with diabetes if it wasn't us. But I mean, it would take a lot for me to be like, ugh, this person's diabetes is like ruining my day.
You're also a really nice person though, let's be real.
I guess, but it's just like, it would, I mean, it would take like a lot for me to really be like bothered by someone else's health issue. And I think we're so sensitive and aware because we have to be about like what our body is doing and what's happening and what we need to do to kind of make ourselves feel safe. I think it can look and feel more of a burden than it actually is in reality, for other people. But I think Chrissy made a good point, is surrounding yourself with people who aren't going to make you feel like you're a burden. Because, yes, that's shitty if they make you feel that way, and that makes they're probably like a bad person. But the reality is you don't need to be spending time with them. And this is your reality. This is what you have to deal with. And if people are going to be making you feel worse than it already does to have a low blood sugar, like the last thing you need on top of low blood sugar symptoms is guilt. No. If they're going to be making you feel shitty, kind of reevaluating that relationship or that situation. Right.
My parents, when I was first diagnosed, I was like, oh my God, you know, like I thought I had enough baggage before for my dating life. Like no one's going to want to date me now. Not that that was the first thing I thought of, obviously, because, you know, there are other things in life. But when that first happened, I was like, oh, you know, like just more baggage, more, you know, shit for me to deal with. And it wasn't really until I met, I don't know, I think I was just like out randomly and was talking to some guy and I was like, oh yeah, like I'm diabetic. And he was like, so? And I that moment I was like,
and you're like, oh.
What? 'Cause it literally took me, I want to say a year and a half or 2 years until I was really just, you know, anyone who was recently diagnosed or was diagnosed in the last few years, and as an adult knows that the adjustment period, especially if you're self-conscious about something, can definitely affect the way that you view the disease, and that in turn can affect the way that other people view the disease, because for many people you're the only person they know with type 1. It is becoming more prevalent, but it's very much the introduction into the disease is you, and however you are. If you're like really blasé about it, they're going to be like blasé about it, or if you're freaking out, they're going to be worried for you, because, you know, that's just the way people react. They mirror other people's reactions. They don't know that much about the disease. So when I was super anxious about it, it took me like meeting someone. I think he knew someone who had type 1. He was like, oh yeah, it's not a big deal. And I was like, oh my God, you're right. Mm-hmm. It's totally chill. Well,
I think like Miriam said, though, it definitely depends on the day, because on days when I have really good control and I don't have to deal with a low blood sugar,
just a hangnail.
I have that, but that's exactly the mentality that I have all day. I'm like, oh, well, I had to check my blood sugar. It was good. And then I gave myself a shot and then I continue to be good. It's really not a big deal. It's not a burden at all.
Right.
And then you have a day where you need to slow up your entire group of friends and be like, we can't, you know, leave to go out yet, or I don't want to eat that right now because I'm feeling nauseous because I just had a low. And that's when it feels like a burden, and you can't really predict those moments sometimes, so it can be a little bit vulnerable, because I know I definitely have days where I'm like, you know what, this is no big deal, I totally got this, And then the next day comes and you have a spike, then a drop, then a spike, then a drop.
Oh my God, it's
and
a roller coaster.
It's just the most vulnerable feeling. So it just really depends on the day. But overall, I think I like the idea of thinking of it as like a hangnail.
Yeah,
like
that's a really good metaphor.
Something that's just annoying, but as long as you can get past like the moments and the days even, sometimes it's more than a day. But if you have like a bad patch of days where you're feeling like it's a burden, it's good to remember that that will pass. So I'm not going to say that the feeling will ever go away. Like you said, it's not a constant. It's something that comes and goes. But the bad feeling will pass.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's when I was trying to like prep last minute for this episode and thinking, well, what can I say? I wish from a mental health perspective I could say, well, this is what you do to deal with feeling like a burden. But the reality is there's no such thing, or if there was, I'd be really rich right now. But the only way you really deal with that feeling is talking about it and acknowledging it. And I think when you get in that state of mind where you're trying to convince yourself, I'm not a burden, it's fine, I'm feeling fine, I'm doing okay, that's when you kind of get into trouble, is just trying to deny those feelings of like, ugh, I need to like let this out. And I think acknowledging what it feels like and acknowledging that it's taking up this headspace and talking about it and letting it out and kind of giving yourself a pity party, that's what helps and that's what works and that's what lets you wake up the next day. And I think
so
pancreas pals, like that's what it is to maybe alleviate that burden. If you don't feel that your friends or your family or your partner can really, obviously they're sympathetic and they care, but if you don't feel like they get it quite like a pancreas pal does, that's why you look into these sorts of relationships, is to be able to share that burden with someone who has it themselves and they get it.
I think that is the fear, expressing that kind of vulnerability to someone that you're friends with or someone that you're dating. And I mean, honestly, in my worst moments when I'm home, even with my family, you're worried it's going to be their burden.
Oh yeah, 100%. Even the new technology, while it helps us and takes a lot of this pressure off and stress off, we were just talking about this briefly before we started recording, but the idea of adding someone new onto your Dexcom or your, you know, Enlight sensor, I don't know if that has a app where you can send it, but adding, shout out to Rich, cute little boyfriend of mine wants to be on my Dexcom, and I'm like, okay, but that means that you'll be getting these alerts if I go super low. And he was like, yeah, I know, I want to be there for you. And I was like, oh my God, stop.
A whole new level of intimacy.
Yeah, it's just, it's one of those things that, first of all, like I constantly look at my Dexcom, which is probably a whole nother episode because that's probably unhealthy and I should probably take a break from it, but that's neither here nor there. But it's one of those things that, you know, my parents are on it, my twin sister and older sister are on it, and my best friend from college is on it because we were roommates. And now she's just on it because she likes to check it and be like, hey, Emily, I see you at 200. What'd you just do? And I'm like, hey, Jen, it's Friday night. Leave me alone. Like, but she's supportive and she's the best. And she's the one who also tag team calls me with my parents when I'm at like 30 or 40 or something. So it feels like a burden, but it's so good to step back and realize that, you know, sometimes it's like they want to do this. They love you. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have anyone who can be on your Dexcom, then find a pancreas pal. Not to add to your Dexcom, because that's like a whole different story, but someone that you can, you know, talk to about struggling with certain things and numbers. And, you know, we are in no way doctors, so I can in no way suggest any type of cure, like, you know, the proper temp basal or anything like that, or, you know, shots, who knows. But sometimes it's nice to just talk to Christy and call her up and be like, hey, Christy, I really wanted to go get sushi with Rich tonight, but my blood sugar was 300 from like half a milkshake I drank earlier today, so I don't want to try with sushi rice. And Christy will be like, yo, I feel you. And usually she has the exact same problem because we're kind of like the same person. It's creepy. But my dream day would honestly be having a milkshake and sushi. Now that's like
on the brain.
It's like, sounds delicious. This is like not going to go well for my evening, my beautiful line. But anyways, The point is, I feel like I always go off on these tangents. The point is that we all have days, I'm just repeating with it, the genius of Miriam and Christy, but we all have days where outside of diabetes, sometimes I feel like I'm a burden, whether I'm feeling extra anxious, like I have anxiety problems. I've been known to have the occasional, you know, like not depressive state. I don't know. Listen, anything in your 20s is going to be difficult no matter what anyone tells you. And adding diabetes to that is no easy feat. Mm-hmm. So the more people you can talk to, the more people that can listen and be an ear for you and really just support you is the best way to deal with any idea of a burden. So like Miriam said, it's all about communication. And, you know, we're here for you, your family's there for you, your friends are there for you. And while we may be in a different state, a pal is what you need at the end of a day.
Yeah, and if you're questioning how someone feels about dealing is the wrong word, how someone is reacting to your diabetes, honestly, just ask. Mm-hmm. Like, I have a couple of close friends in Boston that, one of whom is my roommate, Erica, shout out. I am just so candid with her. Like, she'll text me if she sees juice boxes and, like, the downstairs bathroom garbage, and she'll be like, did we have a rough night? Because, you know, I use a meter and insulin injections. I don't have a Dexcom, so no one is really responsible for tracking except me, unless I share something. And, you know, I don't even know exactly when I realized, you know, I can just be candid with Erica and she's not gonna judge me or baby me, but at the same time, I kind of like that there's someone in the vicinity who has an idea of where my blood sugars have been at, just, you know, if anything should happen. But especially with close friends and anyone you're dating, just anyone that you're looking to introduce to your life to spend time with, I think just ask them, like, oh, do you want to hear about this? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, if you have a low blood sugar in front of them, there's kind of nothing you can do but treat it. And I remember being really, really, really self-conscious the first couple of times that I treated a low blood sugar in front of Zach, because I was just like, is this weird watching me just like chug this juice box?
Same.
But you know what? Not so much anymore. Mm-hmm. Because I've just asked, like, is this weird? Like, does this feel like a burden? And you know what? If the answer the person is giving you is anything less than you want to hear, then reevaluate.
It's a good way to weed out the losers.
It is. It is.
Yeah. I mean, people are going to react. People are going to do what they're going to do. But at the end of the day, you can only control yourself. And while you might not be able to control your blood sugar numbers, you can control the positive people you surround yourself with. So that's one of the few things in life we have a say in, positively. That took a dark turn. Or a light turn.
No, not really.
It's just that's reality. Is you can't control everything. You can't control your numbers all the time, but you can control your reaction to these things. And can kind of just be aware of your feelings and don't give yourself a hard time if you're having one of those days where you're like, all of this sucks, it's not fair, I hate this. Like, we all have those thoughts and they're valid and you can have them. And I think I'm all about just like having your feelings and accepting them. And I think when those times when we try to kick ourselves for feeling so down about it, it's just like making it worse for yourself.
That's right. Sometimes
you can have those moments.
Sometimes you just got to grab, you know, some Halo Top and watch a rom-com or, you know, The Notebook. Sometimes I want to break up with my diabetes and I have a full-on, you know, evening where I do a little bit of a crying movie, and you just you got to deal the way you're going to deal. And I sit down with my sister and my friends and we just, you know, I'll cancel plans to go out because my blood sugar, I had a low, like a really bad low. I did this the other day. I was like, I cannot get out of this bed. Like, I don't want to leave my apartment. I feel like death and I just want to sit here in my elastic pants and chill. And that's what I did. And the next day I felt so much better because I allowed myself to take the time and just, you know, put myself first instead of worrying that my friends are going to be mad at me for not going out with them. And
well, first of all, the s'mores Halo Top is amazing.
Oh, retweet.
So I'm just going to throw that out there as separate information. It is great though. I would pick some up ASAP. But, I mean, if we're going to say, and by we, I mean anyone who deals with diabetes, if we're going to say that this is a burden in any way when we have those days, think about all of the friends who you know who have given you a reason that they couldn't go out.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
If diabetes is our burden, it's legit. You know what? It's, no, it's legit, but it's also no more or less than anyone else's
burden.
It's
true.
You know, maybe someone else's burden is that they have some other kind of emotional situation and they don't want to go out. Maybe they have something physically wrong with them too that's hard to detect. You never know. So if we get to say that this is our burden, you know what?
Yeah, and it lets us sit on our high horse and roll our eyes when someone else says, oh, I can't go out, I'm not feeling well. It's like, gives us something, you know? It's like,
I'm never feeling well. I haven't felt well in years.
Chronic disease. I don't want to hear it.
No, but I think that's a really good point, is that everyone's got their thing. Sometimes our thing feels like worse than everyone else's, but then there's times that it's kind of a reality check and it's like, oh, this could be actually way worse than it is.
It could always be worse.
But Emily brought up a good point, is that every morning, and this is actually what I love about diabetes, if I had to pick like a thing to love,
no one
that
ever.
Every morning you start new. Like, you get to start fresh every day. If you were a roller coaster yesterday, you can kind of choose your own adventure the following day. And it's never, unless you're sick or like something is going way off, but for the most part you can kind of start fresh every morning. And that is what brings me some sort of, I don't want to say joy, some
solace. It brings
peace.
Solace.
It brings me solace. It brings me solace.
That is the most beautiful, like, take on this disease I have ever heard.
Leave it to Marianne to find it.
But it's like true, right? It's like those, sometimes you have a shitty day and the next day you get to kind of start over.
Right.
And I can't really think of other health issues that are like that. You know, this is one of those weird chronic things that you get to like play around with. Like, we get to experiment with our bodies. Like, I wonder how my blood sugar will react to this specific food. Let's test it out. Like,
you would be excited to like dose a certain amount and find out if, like, but no, there are small victories in diabetes. Like, the first
time,
it
is the best if you kind of take a shot in the dark and it works out.
Yeah,
like, I am a queen, I'm a genius, no one knows more about diabetes than me, type of moment. And then, you know, you have a high like the next day, but you take what you can get. You know, the moment I could eat a sandwich and be okay was the happiest moment of my life. I was like, this is amazing. 100%. Yes.
Well, I would say that's a takeaway. As much as sometimes it is unavoidable and maybe even necessary to kind of wallow in the feeling of diabetes being a burden, I think it's also really important to celebrate the opportunity for small victories.
For sure.
So if you can find a balance, I think you're probably approaching it as best as you can. Because like we've said, there's just no way to avoid ahead of time those awful feelings and situations. But the reaction to all of the above is really what defines your attitude.
The game changer. And I know when I was going through a hard time about, I don't know, over like in the spring, I was kind of dealing with my diagnosis. It had like really hit me that, you know, it was the whole chronic part of the illness really hit me. And I was lucky enough to have a therapist who, you know, specialized in diabetes here in New York that I saw for a few sessions. And he was just great with that. But I also had Miriam, and Miriam, who has diabetes, was like, it's okay. Just chill. Talk to your therapist. Like, I'm here for you. She's like, this is the stuff that happens. Like, because Miriam, you've had it forever. Like, you've had this disease forever. And
I have, every couple years, it's like I have that that feeling, like you mentioned. It's like all of a sudden it's hitting me again. Like, ugh.
Yeah.
And it does. It comes and goes. But I think, you know, obviously if I had if I had the answer to how to like alleviate that feeling, I'd be rich, and I don't, and I have those feelings myself, but it's talking about it and talking to your therapist and really dealing with those things. That's what helps.
Yeah, so find a Miriam in your neighborhood and That's my takeaway. Get yourself a Miriam. That's how you solve diabetes being a burden, which it's not.
It certainly always cheers us up.
Yeah, we look for our Miriam all the time.
Thanks, guys.
We look forward to it. I guess that about wraps us up, honestly. And we have a lot of really exciting people coming on the show this season, and it's getting pretty cool, guys, so stay tuned.
Yeah, and thank you again so much for anyone who has messaged us or emailed us. If you guys have any follow-up questions to any of our episodes, please don't be like, oh, shoot, I wanted them to address this specific thing on a certain episode. If we didn't hit exactly the point you wanted.
Or if we were wrong.
Message us. if you disagree, honestly.
Our email is pancreaspals123@gmail.com. And we always love it when people slide into our DMs. Like, I'm not kidding.
That's probably the best way to get us because we both have alerts set up to our phones for Pancreas Pals. At least I know I do for Instagram, so if someone messages, I get it directly.
Oh, that explains so much.
Yeah, I get really excited when we get our inbox messages. I love them.
I get really pumped for emails, so holla at us. And
everyone's got their strengths.
Yeah. So follow us on Instagram. We're pancreas_pals. On Facebook, we're pancreaspals.pp, I think, something like that. Or just type in Pancreas Pals. There's not that many Pancreas Pals out there.
Look for our little... like black and pink logo.
Because we're keeping that. We're keeping that for season two, just so everyone knows. Thanks for listening, guys. Stay tuned for another great season. And special thanks again to Miriam for being her amazing, fabulous self.
Miriam, we love you.
Yeah,
I'm waving bye, and I just realized no one can actually see.
I can confirm
guys.
This
was wonderful. I love coming on.
Always a pal to us. Have a great week, guys.
You
too. Bye.